with us just for that period of time. Okay, Rabosa.
Dr. Joel, I know.
Yeah, Dr. Joel, you know. So we're here on Daf Lamed Aleph Lamed Aleph. Daf Lamed Aleph Lamed Aleph. And we have a brisa which is on the second line, Tana Rabbanan. Now the subject of this brisa is a machlokes between Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer. And what's important in this machlokes is to understand by the way, we have some extra gemaras here if anybody needs. If somebody could just maybe put these two gemaras in the back.
Okay. You come into class and the teacher is sitting in front of this. It's right.
I'm
No,
okay. Someone else is going to.
The vents are closed. I mentioned before that we have a problem here with the vents are closed.
Can I use a gemara?
Which mesechta do you want?
Mezik.
So what we have here is a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Chachamim in two cases, and then we have to understand the Gemara's interpretation of that machlokas. So let's see the Gemara inside on the top of Daf Lamed Aleph Lamed Aleph. The Gemara says the following: Tana Rabbanan Sukkah Gzula, a stolen sukkah. And a person sets up a sukkah in a public area. Rabbi Eliezer posel, the chachamim machshirim.
Feel that.
Good.
Wow. It's got to be a bracha.
A special bracha.
Yeah. Come back. Now I need a sweater.
I just want to on the floor this one.
So let's go over the two cases that are mentioned in this brisa. The first case, the brisa is a little bit ambiguous, it doesn't spell it out, and that's called a sukkah gzula, a stolen sukkah. Now a stolen sukkah could have different possible scenarios. You could have thrown someone out of his sukkah, you might have stolen the defanos of the sukkah, maybe you stole the schach of the sukkah, maybe you stole the real estate, the karka, and you built a sukkah on top of his real estate. A lot of different possibilities. And then we have the second case of HaMesachech Bershus HaRavin. So there it seems that he set up his own sukkah in a public area, which would mean that the defanos, the schach, everything belongs to him. He has private ownership, he didn't steal anything, but he's taking advantage of using the public area of the karka of Rishus HaRabin. So the brisa records the machlokas Rabbi Eliezer posel v'chachonim machshirim. According to Rabbi Eliezer, in both of these cases, he does not fulfill his mitzvah of sukkah. And presumably, the common reasoning in both cases would be gzela, that it's a stolen sukkah. Again, in the first case, it's a stolen sukkah that's explicit in the Braisa. In the second case, a masachech b'shus harabim, where does, if he didn't steal neither the tefanos nor the schach, what did he steal?
Ground.
Right, the public ground, the public area. So that would have to be karka.
He didn't really steal it.
Does anybody own it? Did he steal it? Did he take it away from anyone? Did he throw out anybody? Is it just the fact that he uses the karka? So I want to share with you as we go along. We're not ready for it yet, Dr. Joel, but we'll have it soon.
It's like the restaurants, you know, that put the tables out on the streets, you know, and there was a really big issue in the 1990s about whether one, whether it ought to do it, and two, whether it they should have been paying our noner on it, and they weren't paying our noner. Mm.
So it says v'chachomim machshirin, and the chachomim say that both these cases he could be yotze his mitzvah of sukkah. Omer Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman is going to hopefully give us a little bit of a he's going to shed a little bit of light on this machlokes. He says the following: machlokes, the machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and the chachomim is b'she tokev es chavero votzio misukosa. In other words, when this braisa opens up with those sort of vague, ambiguous words of a sukkah gzula, it refers to a case where someone evicts someone else from that someone else's sukkah. It means basically he doesn't own anything in this sukkah. He doesn't own the ground on which the sukkah is built. He doesn't own the tefanos. He doesn't own the schach. And he says the following: Rabbi Eliezer l'ta'amei. Rabbi Eliezer should be understood as consistent with his opinion. The Omar ein odom yotze yidei chovaso b'sukaso shel chavero. Now, what that means is that if I don't have permission from you, I cannot fulfill my mitzvah of sukkah by sitting in your sukkah. Let's go even a step further. Suppose you give me permission and you invite me into your sukkah. So this is a sugya earlier in Masechta Sukkah on Daf Chav Zayin, and the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Eliezer, even if you invite someone into your sukkah, he would not fulfill his mitzvah of sukkah. Now that sounds awfully similar to the case of lulav. If I invite you on the first day of Yom Tov to use my lulav, do you fulfill your mitzvah? And the answer is no.
There's no lochem by sukkah.
Exactly. So is there lochem by sukkah? So in the case of lulav, the Torah says ulakachem lochem, mishal lochem. It's got to be yours. And that excludes the case of a borrowed lulav. Even though I borrowed it kidasu kidin, meaning halachically, you gave me rishus, you gave me permission, I didn't abscond with your lulav. If I invite you to use my lulav, or I use your lulav because you invited me, then there's a serious problem on the first day of Yom Tov at least, because l'kachtem lachem. But in the case of sukkah, is there a requirement of lachem, of ownership over the sukkah? So the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Eliezer, there's a requirement of ownership. You cannot fulfill your mitzvah with someone else's sukkah. And Rabbi Eliezer derives it from the pasuk. It says, "Shivas yomim tasu sukos lecha." Lecha, says Rabbi Eliezer, means it's got to be yours. And without ownership, you're not yotze the mitzvah of sukkah. Chachamim say you don't have to own the sukkah. And the Gemara asks, "So what are the rabbanim going to do with the word lecha?" And the Gemara establishes lahotzi es hagzula, that the word lecha is coming to exclude a case of a stolen sukkah. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, lecha tells you in a positive sense you have to have ownership over the sukkah. And if it's not yours, you're not fulfilling the mitzvah of sukkah. In the case of lulav, that applies on the first day, according to everybody. In the case of sukkah, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that applies all 7 days of sukkahs. The chachamim disagree. They drop the requirement of ownership, but they exclude gzula. So the lcha, according to the chachamim, is not coming to add a requirement, a positive requirement in sukkah, namely ownership, but rather to exclude the case of a sukkah gzula. Now, what is the case of a sukkah gzula? In what under what circumstances would the Rabbanan say that Rabbi Eliezer is right, although not for the same reason? He's not Yotzei his mitzvah of sukkah, not because of the reason that you need ownership, but because it became a sukkah gzula. You have to make the sukkah, establish it as a sukkah gzula. So if you evict someone from his sukkah, that doesn't make the sukkah into a sukkah gzula. Why? Because you're not stealing neither his schach nor his defanos. You're really stealing his space, meaning the karka on which the sukkah is situated. You're utilizing his karka, and you can't do that without his permission. But that, the Gemara says, depends upon another issue, which is very upfront at the end of Masechta Bava Kamma. And what's that called? Karka nigzeles o ein nigzeles. Can you steal real estate, or karka, as the Gemara calls it, or can you not steal real estate? One man, the Omer, says you can't steal real estate. Real estate belongs, and it's in the chazakah of whoever owns it, no matter where the piece of property is. It could be out in China. It doesn't matter. You own it. And no one could sit and squat and take over your karka and call it his karka. And the other opinion says, no, you can steal karka. So according to the Chachamim, we're going to have a real problem over here, because if Lecha is coming to exclude the case of a gzula, a stolen sukkah, how can you possibly steal a sukkah? Well, the karka itself can't be stolen. So then what by definition would be a sukkah gzula? What did you steal?
You stole the wood.
You stole the wood, you stole the schach, you stole the defanos. And you built a sukkah with stolen property. Again, as far as the karka is concerned, the Gemara assumes now that karka ain't an exilus. You can't steal karka.
Oh, so the karka is not the sukkah.
Just give me 1 second. You're ahead of me a little, Dr. Joel. I'm just trying to, sort of move slowly into the sugya. Yeah, just to get the basics down. So it works like this. We don't know what... David, you follow with me just a few minutes just to give the introduction. We don't know what the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer is right now as far as whether karka is subject to gzela or not subject to gzela. But what we do know is that Rabbi Eliezer requires ownership over the sukkah. So whether or not I can steal your karka is irrelevant. I have to establish my sukkah, my ownership on the sukkah. Again, we'll have to ask Dr. Joel's question, what does that mean? Ownership on the schach, ownership on the tefanos, both the schach and the tefanos, the karka that holds up the sukkah. I mean, there are so many different variables here that this is a very complicated issue. But one thing is clear, whatever you define as the sukkah, it has to be yours. Why? Because Rabbi Eliezer understands that when the Torah says lecha, what does lecha mean? Ownership. You have to have ownership.
Can you rent the piece of a
car? Oh, so then we get into a whole other subject, whether rental is considered ownership or not. So if you're paying rental fees, we paskin like one man, the owner. Again, you have to know all of Choshen Mishpah for this. And that's called Schiris Kanya. Schiris Kanya means that through rental I acquire ownership over something. So the Gemara, for example, says in Gittin that if you want to divorce your wife, you can rent her a space and put the get down in that space, and it's as if it entered into her chatzah because she owns it through rental. But again, just the fundamental principle here, without getting into the details, and I applaud you guys because you want to know everything, and I can't tell you everything. There's, we'd have to spend 10 years to figure out what ownership on karka really is. But the fundamental principle, as far as Masechta Sukkah is concerned, that's the limited amount of knowledge that we have now, is that according to Rabbi Eliezer, you must own the sukkah. Whatever that means. Again, it doesn't mean this, doesn't mean that. There are so many different possibilities. But you have to own the sukkah. Who disagrees with Rabbi Eliezer? The Chacham. They hold that what does the word lecha mean? Right, exactly. It doesn't mean I have to own it. It means I cannot have a stolen sukkah. But the real complicated problem is, what does it mean, a stolen sukkah? If we assume that the sukkah is the karka on which the sukkah stands, well, the Chachamim are of the opinion that karka ain't an exelus. So you might say, well, by process of elimination, then what did you steal to make it into a stolen sukkah? You stole the schach, you stole the wood, and you used it for schach. and therefore the sukkah is considered a sukkah gzula. Comes along Rav Nachman here, and that you'll see on what line in the Gemara, line 4 in the Gemara. Amar Rav Nachman, machlokes kishetokef es chavera. Now if I evict you from your sukkah, so Rabbi Eliezer says you can't fulfill your mitzvah of sukkah in that sukkah because you don't own the sukkah. And the Torah says, lecha. Even if he would invite you into the sukkah, and it would be what's called a sukkah she'ula, right? She'ula, let's write that word down, she'ula, it's a barred sukkah, even that would not be enough because she'ula is not like schirus, as Avi mentioned before, it's not ownership. And if I don't own the sukkah, according to Rabbi Eliezer, I'm not yotze. Oh. Now, in the case of Mesachech Birshus Aramim, that's a little bit more complicated because why should you exclude that? L'chora, in the case of Mesachech Birshus Aramim, I own the schach. So let's assume for argument's sake that the ownership requirement according to Rabbi Eliezer is in the schach. Again, there are many, many possibilities. But if we assume like those Rishonim who maintain that Rabbi Eliezer wants ownership on the schach, in the case of Mesachech Birshus Aramim, I put up my schach in the Birshus Aramim. So the question is, why is that excluded? Okay, so let's leave out Rabbi Eliezer for a minute. Let's talk for a moment about the Chachamim. The Chachamim say you don't have to own a sukkah. And if I invite you into my sukkah, you can be yotze. Therefore, if I evict you from the sukkah, then even though I don't own the sukkah, it's your sukkah, I can be yotze. The only problem is, what is the word l'cha exclude according to the Chachamim?
A stolen
sukkah. So if I throw you out of your sukkah, have I stolen your sukkah?
No.
And here the Gemara says, karka ain't an exelts, that you can't steal karka. But didn't you steal the schach? And the answer is, you never really stole the schach, because the schach remains in exactly the position, the location where it was before. So let's just again, every single premise that I'm throwing out to you is questioned and put into the, you know, into the under the magnifying glasses of the microscope of all the Rishonim. So I'm really just trying to simplify things when they really are more complicated, just to get by, you know, get to what we say in baseball, first base, just to get to first base. Let's assume that in the case where Reuven evicts Shimon from the sukkah, he doesn't make an act of, he doesn't implement an act of gzela on the schach. The schach is exactly where it was. And if you'll argue, well, he stole the karka because he's using Reuven's karka when he evicts him, the answer to that is called karka ain't an exelt. So the karka is not stolen. So then you might ask, okay, if that be the case, so what is the exclusion of lecha? When is lecha activated to exclude gezula according to Chachamim? Mimanashach. No matter how you slice the cake, it seems to be problematic. If you're going to tell me that he set up his sukkah in Rishus HaRavim, that is certainly not a sukkah gezula because he didn't steal anyone's karka. He set up his own schach and his own defanos. And if you're going to tell me he threw someone out of his own sukkah, then he didn't steal the schach, he didn't steal the defanos. They remain exactly as they were before. And as far as the karka is concerned, karka ain't an exilis. So when do we have a case of sukkah gzula, which is excluded according to the Chachamim by the pasuk of what? Lecha. Dave, you have an answer to my question?
I have a thought, yes.
Give me a thought. I need a thought.
When you evict the fellow from his sukkah, you're stealing his ability to use his sukkah.
That's called karka ain't an exelis. When you have a piece of land, the property, yeah, and let's say there's a structure that's built on that karka, and I lock it up in such a way that you have no use of the karka, and I enter in and I use that structure and I enjoy the benefits of it, that issue comes under what's called karka nigzelis or karka ain't an exelis. The Chachamim are of the opinion, again, for this we'd have to know the last parak in Masechta Bava Kamma, that karka ain't an exelis. He can't steal karka. So what is a karka gzula? If he can't steal karka, what's going to be the answer? What did I steal from you? Schach, I stole your schach. Can you imagine hauling off someone's wood and using it for his schach? Comes along Rav Nachman and he says, the following. I'm skipping a few lines, we'll come back to it. And he says the following: Aval gazal eitzim, if he stole someone's wood, this is about line 10, down from the top. V'sichech b'hem, and he used it for schach, divrei akol, ein lo elad me eitzim. What that means is that the gazlan owns the eitzim, and therefore he owns the schach. It's his private, personal possession. Now, if it's his private, personal possession, then can he use that schach for his mitzvah of sukkah? Which basically means we're going to invite rabbis into a sukkah. The schach is stolen schach. And we're going to say that all these rabbis are yotze, the mitzvah of sukkah. That sounds pretty paradoxical. But what's the answer? That the gazlan has what's called kinyone gzeil. He can't be kone karka, but he could be kone the schach. The schach is called what? Not karka, but metaltolin. A metaltolin, you can make a kinyon on metaltolin. Now, exactly what kinyon he made on this schach, on these metaltolin, is not 100% clear, but let's say the following. There's number one, what we call gzela. Gzela means when you take something out of a person's possession, which you can only do in the case of metaltolin. Number two, there was yeush, which means that the victim of this theft gave up hope. And number three, there's something called shinui. Shinui means you made some sort of dramatic change in the object. So in this case, you took eitzim and you built it as part of a sukkah. You used it as schach. Schach is a radical change than its original state of eitzim, and therefore he made a kinyan. Once he makes a kinyan, then the Gemara says that even Rabbi Eliezer would agree that he could be yotze with this stolen schach. Why? Because Rabbi Eliezer holds that let lecha requires ownership. Have you established ownership at least on the schach? And the answer is yes. Do you own the defanos in the karka? And the answer is yes. Why? Because you only stole eitzim. So you didn't steal his karka. You didn't steal his defanos. You only stole the schach. And you used the schach. But the schach, he was kona. The gazlan was kona with gzela, yeush, shini rishur, shini hashem, whatever it might be. And therefore, he owns the sukkah. Now let's ask another question. But lecha certainly excludes the case of a gzula, which is a stolen sukkah. Here the schach is stolen. And the answer is once again, once he makes a kinyan on the schach, he acquires ownership on the schach, it's no longer considered a sukkah gzula. So let's read the Gemara inside. The Gemara says, "Haval gazal eitzim v'sichech b'hem divrei akol." What does the victim of this theft have what does he have rights to? What can he claim? Ein lo elad me eitzim. He can only claim compensation for the trees, for the wood. The wood itself, as a be'en, as an object, is now acquired by the gazlan, and therefore Rashi says, if you take a look, "Haval gazal eitzim v'sichech b'hem." Which you'll see the Rashi on the right side of the page. Rashi says, a little bit lower down on the page, he says, "Ein zu lo gzula v'lo sheula." This is not a case of a stolen sukkah or a borrowed sukkah. Why? Dekaninhu, he acquired ownership on this wood. He acquired ownership b'shinui maaseh v'shinui hashem. Rashi's a little bit complicated here because Rashi says there are two ways. And both of them apply here, in which he acquired ownership. Number one is shinui maaseh, meaning he made a change because before they were slats of wood, now they're slats of schach. And number two, he calls it shinui hashem because before it was called eitzim, and now we call it schach. Okay. So Rashi says that once he acquires ownership over these eitzim, then mimanafshach, no matter how you slice the cake, he was yotzi the mitzvah of sukkah. If you all that lecha comes to exclude she'ula, well, it's his sukkah because he now acquired ownership on the schach. If you're going to say the lecha, like the chachamim, excludes gzula, well, it's no longer gzula. All the nigzal could have hope to hold out for is to get back what? The money. He can get back the dumb. He cannot get back the original object, which is called what? The eitzim themselves. So then where is the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chacham? Let's backtrack a little. And the Gemara says the following. This is the Gemara that I skipped before. Omer Rav Nachman, four lines down from the top. Machlokes b'shetokev es chavero vehotzio misukoso. He evicts him from his sukkah. Again, he never takes the schach or the defanos out of the rishus, out of the possession of the nigzal. I mean, the schach and the defanos remain exactly where they were. But what does he steal? He steals the karka. Why does he steal the karka? Because by locking the guy out of his sukkah, the sukkah no longer is accessible. He, the owner of the sukkah, has no longer access to use the sukkah. So that's called stealing karka. And it would seem that the Gemara holds that stealing karka means that if it's stolen, it's not yours. And if it's not yours, it's sha'ul at the best. Again, sha'ul usually means when I invite you into the sukkah. Here I didn't even invite you into the sukkah. So the Gemara says the following, E karka nigzeles, if Rabbi Eliezer holds, the Gemara is vacillating, what Rabbi Eliezer holds about this famous principle of karka nigzeles or karka eina nigzeles, let's assume for argument's sake he holds that karka nigzeles. Oh, then sukkah gzuli, it's a stolen karka. It's a stolen sukkah. Why? Because if I take you out of your real estate, out of your karka, and I don't allow you to use the karka, that's called theft, and the karka is stolen.
That's what I said.
And that's what you said before. But that's only according to Rabbi Eliezer in this tzad, because the Chachamim completely reject the idea of karka nigzeles. They hold ein karka nigzeles. So this sukkah is not a sukkah gzula. V'inami karka ein an exeles, and if you'll tell me that the karka remains in the possession of its owner, nevertheless Rabbi Eliezer would completely disqualify this mitzvah of sukkah. Why? Because sukkah shu'uli. According to Rabbi Eliezer, the word l'cha sets up a requirement of what? Ownership. And you don't own this sukkah. For sure you don't own this sukkah. You don't own the schach, you don't own the tfanos, you don't own karka, you don't own anything. And karka ain't an exelus, so there's no way you can make a kinyan on someone else's karka. For Rabbanon, why do the Rabbanon hold that if you throw someone out of his sukkah, you could be yotze in the midst of sukkah? L'tamayu, they too are going consistent with their opinion, back on Daf Chav Zayin. The Amri, they say that Adam yotze yedecho vaso besukasa shel chavero. A person could fulfill his mitzvah, even if it's not l'cha. Ay, l'cha comes to exclude what? Gzula. The karka ain't an exelus. The chacham happened to hold the karka is not stolen, so you never really stole this sukkah. So this sukkah cannot be a sukkah gzula. It cannot be possible because of sukkah sha'ula, as Rabbi Eliezer would have it, because according to the chacham, you don't require ownership in a sukkah. It just can't be a stolen sukkah, but this can't be a stolen sukkah because he didn't steal the schach. And the karka couldn't be stolen because karka ain't an exilis. So what is then the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim? We don't know. What we know is that it's a case where you throw someone out of a sukkah. According to Rabbi Eliezer, if you sit in that sukkah after you eject someone from his sukkah, then you're not yotzi your mitzvah sukkah because it's a sukkah sha'ula. It might be also a sukkah gzula. The Gemara vacillates back and forth. What's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion about karka and exelis? But let's even assume that karka ain't an exelis, even according to Rabbi Eliezer. But it's nevertheless a sukkah sha'ula. And you don't own that sukkah. And if a person invites you into a sukkah, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you're not yotze because l'cha comes to require the condition of ownership. The Chachon, on the other hand, would say this is not a sukkah gzula. If you'll tell me it's a sukkah sha'ula, the Rabbanah never required ownership of her sukkah because l'cha is only coming to exclude gezula. It doesn't come to exclude sha'ula. Let's call this sukkah or gezula. And the answer is no, because the Rabbanah old karka ain't an exelis. So you didn't steal neither the schach nor the karka. In what case, says Rav Nach, would even Rabbi Eliezer agree that you could fulfill your mitzvah with a stolen sukkah? That's the case of gazal eitzim. Because eitzim are not what? Karka, but rather metaltolin. And Rashi says that in the case of gozal eitzim, if you steal eitzim, you're kone with shini Hashem or shini mas. The sichabim divrei akol ein lo el dmei eitzim. All he can claim, the only recourse that this nigzal has is to get back what? the money, the value, the currency of these Eitzim, but as far as the ownership over the Eitzim is concerned, the Gazlan achieves complete total ownership over the Eitzim, either with Shini Hashem or with Shini Rishus, or Rashi calls it not Shini Rishus but Shini Masa. Mimai, says Rav Nachman, how do I know that my understanding is correct? Midik Tani, because it says in this braisa two cases. We have the first case of Sukkah Gzula, and we have the second case of Mesachech Birshus Arabim. Dumyo Birshus Arabim. What does the word Dumyo mean?
Similar.
This is a methodological premise that whenever in the braisa or Mishnah, whatever it might be, quotes two cases, the assumption is that there's an underlying reason for the din in both of those two cases. And therefore, when we get to the case of Sukkah Gzula, we're going to have to interpret Sukkah Gzula as very similar to the case of Mesachek Rishus HaRabim. Ma Rishus HaRabim Karka Lavdi Dehu. Just like in the case of Rishus HaRabim, he doesn't own the Karka. So too, in the case of Sukkah Nami, when we talk about Sukkah Gzula, Lav Karka Di Dehu, he doesn't own the Karka. So that would only make sense in the case of Tokef Chavero, if he throws out someone from his sukkah, he doesn't own the karka. But in the case where he stole Eitzim, as we said before, Eitzim are metaltalin, you could be kona b'shinu Hashem, according to everybody. So before it was called Eitzim, and now it's called Schach, then he has established a complete kinyan, and that becomes Dumya de Mesachech Birshus HaRabim. Because again, let's review it. In the case of Mesachech Birshus HaRabim, there is no gzela because it's his own schach, it's his own defanos, and karka ain't an gzelas. Again, I'm going to the Chachomim Shita. Now, if then that be the case, betokev chaver shel chavero, there's no ownership on behalf of the gazlan over this sukkah. But it's not a stolen sukkah because karka ain't an exelus. Ella, what are you going to tell me? It's a sukkah sheula. Well, that's a problem only according to Rabbi Eliezer. So that's going to be the machlokas. But in the case where he stole Eitzim, everybody agrees that mimonavshach, it's not a sheula and it's not a gzula because he's kona the Eitzim through gzela together with what? Shinui. Maisa or Shinui Hashem. Therefore, if he has a full-fledged ownership over the sukkah, then it's not called a sukkah gzua, and it's not called a sukkah shu. Now, I have a very dumb question for you. Let's hold that karka ain't an exelus. Am I allowed to throw you out of your karka according to the Torah? And I'm going to say, well, all right, I threw you out of the karka. I stole your karka, but karka ain't an exelus.
No, hopefully
you're
not
allowed
to.
Hopefully
not. So what does karka ain't an exelus mean? You see...
So when I take it, have I done the mitzvah?
No, wait, we'll get to the mitzvah later, but I'm asking in general, in the context of choshen mishpat, of laws that govern monetary relationships between Adam and Chavero, what does it mean? Are we saying karka ain't an exelus means? Again, I'm throwing out a very naive question. So, mean I'm allowed to throw you, I'm allowed to evict you out of your karka, take over your karka, I'm going to use your karka, enjoy it for the next 50 years, and I didn't do anything. I didn't violate any isa or prohibition because karka ain't an exelus.
It's an opinion.
Oh, exactly. Karka ain't an exelus is only halach and hilchas kinyanin. To determine who owns the karka. Normally in Metaltalin, the Gazan could acquire ownership over Metaltalin through Yeush, together with Shini Hashem, Shini Rishus, the whole nine yards. But in the case of karka, there's no way that the Gazan could acquire ownership over the Gzela. But as far as the Avera in the Torah that says Lo Tachmod, that you're not allowed to kavet, is that the word? Kavet?
Kavet?
You're not allowed to kavet somebody else's property. As far as the Isur Lav of Lo Sigzel, that you're not allowed to use somebody else's property without permission, that applies to karka in the same way it applies to metaltalin. There are two laws. There's the monetary law and there's the moral law. As far as the monetary law is concerned, gzela as a kinyan doesn't operate in karka, according to this man, the Yomim says karka ain't gzelas. But as far as moral law is concerned, the Torah says Lo Tigzel. And the Isur of Lo Tigzel applies to karka as well as the metaltalin. And this is the Ramban's famous chiddush in his commentary on the Torah, that you shouldn't even entertain the possibility that karka ain't an gzelas means that the gazlan has not violated any Isur. So Rabosa, let's go back to the drawing board. Reuven is sitting in his sukkah. He's having a blast. The weather is like today outside. Have you seen the weather today? It's mamish gorgeous. Let's hope it stays this way until sukkah. And now Shimon comes along and he evicts Reuven from his sukkah. And now we're holding karka einin exeldis. And the Gemara establishes that in such a case, according to the Chachamim, Shimon could be yotze his mitzvah of sukkah. Not only that, if Shimon steals Reuven's wood and he uses it as schach on his sukkah, even, according to Rav Nachman, even Rabbi Eliezer agrees that he could be yotze. Why? Because in this case, he's kona the metaltolin that he stole. So there's no problem of karka ain't an exelis. And if he has a full-fledged kinyan, then it's neither she'ula nor gzula. But Rabosai, by evicting your friend, we all agree here, nobody disagrees with Ramban's famous chiddush, that he violates the Isur of Lo Tigzol, and maybe even the Isur of Lo Tachmon. So what other problem should we have now? You've solved the problem of Lecha. Why? Because you made a Kenyan or you never even stole it to begin with. Okay, in the case of Metaltolin, I'm sorry, in the case of Eitzim, he made a Kenyan on the Eitzim, right? In the case of Tokev Eschavero, he never made a Kenyan, but it was never stolen. So it wasn't Gzula. And Rabbi Eliezer would pass it because it's She'ula, he doesn't have Lecha. But there seems to be another problem, Menachem. What would be the other problem? Can you help me out over here?
The mitzvah ba midah.
Exactly. What about mitzvah ba biyavera? So I have here for you a ritva, which I was unaware of, and the ritva has a chiddush here, and he wants to understand in this sugya what happened to mitzvah ba biyavera. It seems to have gone astray over here. He writes the following: Tana Rabbanan Sukkah Gzula v'chulei Asikna. The Gemara comes to the conclusion: the pligi, the machlokas here is about Tokaf Eschavero v'hotzio misukasa. He evicts his friend from the sukkah. The Rabbi Eliezer sover karka nixelus inami afilu svirule karka ein nixelus hasukkah sheulahi v'ein adam yotze misukasa shel chavero. Rabbanan savri adam yotze misukasa shel chavero. Hikshu b'tosfus, we don't have this tosfus. The Ritva had a tosfus that we don't have. Dibikolakom came and shetokves chavero ha'ika mitzvah above avera. So you've solved all the problems of ownership. It's not a stolen sukkah because karka ain't an exelus. It's not a stolen sukkah in the case of Eitzin because he made a kinyan shinu Hashem will call it, right? So we've solved the problem of ownership. According to Rabbi Eliezer, in the case of Metaltolin where he steals the Eitzim, you've solved the problem of ownership. But what about the problem of Mitzvah B'Avera? Clearly, the Gazlan violated the Iser of Gzela, where the Karka Nigzelis or ain't an Nigzelis. And how much more so in the case where he stole Eitzim, which is Metaltolin, certainly violated the Iser of Los Sigzel. Vitirtsu. And Tosis gives the following answer: De lo amrina mitzvah baba vera elabidovar shahu leratzos. Does anybody remember last week I had a word on this whiteboard, we'll call it, called ritzu. Ritzu is a concept that we usually associate with
carbon.
Carbon requires, and the goal of a carbon is ritzu, to be maratza, which means to somehow give a close relationship between man and God. That's unique about karma. Karma itself is miloshin kirva. So ritzu is the essence and the critical aspect of a karma. If you steal an animal and you want to bring it on the mizbeach, my friend, that's a no-no. That's not going to be acceptable. That's mitzvah baba veri. Says Tosis, why? Because the whole purpose of the karma is what? Ritzu. And you cannot achieve ritzu with a stolen animal. And then he says, "Velulav kayotze bo." This is what I call pilei plaim, a mind-boggling concept. According to the Ritva, lulav has the same status as karbon. What's the common denominator between the two? Ritzu. Wow, that's pretty way out. In other words, when you shake the lulav, that's called na'anuim. And the Gemara says that that's a kium of atzei ayor yiranenu ka, that this is taking the eitzim and singing song to and praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's called ritzu. Aval sukkah ain bar ritzu. If you had to set up a hierarchy, let's take the laws of the mitzvahs of sukkah, between lulav and sukkah, which would be higher up on the pyramid? Sukkah or lulav? You know, if I would ask you which is a holier mitzvah, so to speak, intuitively I would have said sukkah. I mean, there's so much about sukkah, you know, like the chassidim especially know what a sukkah is all about, you know. It's the Anani HaKavod that is circling you and uplifting you. It's Tzeladim Emnusa. You go into the sukkah the first night, and you're completely uplifted by the sukkah. Says the Ritva, just the opposite. Lulav is holier, so to speak. He doesn't use that word as personal, but is holier than sukkah. What does lulav have that sukkah does not have? Ritzu. And the nafka mina is going to be the standards that we require for a qualified sukkah and a qualified lulav. The standard is that as far as lulav is concerned, if there was an avera that was implemented with this lulav, it was a stolen lulav, forget it. You can't use it for the mitzvah. It's like a behemoth that was stolen can't be used for the carbon because lulav, like carbon, has ritzu. However, in the case of sukkah, ein bar ritzu. He says, Leka mishum mitzvah baba avera v'lo nir. And the Ritva disagrees with this phantom Tosfos, which we don't have. W Yushalmi chosheshu lematzah gzula. The Yushalmi says that if you steal a matzah and you eat the matzah on Leil Pesach, you're not yotzei the mitzvah, because it's mitzvah baba avera. Frek the Ritva, I don't understand. Tosfos just said that which mitzvah qualifies under the psul of mitzvah baba avera? Only a mitzvah that has what? Ritzu. Sukkah doesn't have ritzu, so a stolen sukkah is okay as far as mitzvah baba avera. And so you still have the problem of lecha. But let's assume you solve the problem of lecha by acquiring ownership over the sukkah. There's no problem with mitzvah baba avera. As I state in Tosfos. Where's this Tosfos? It's in the Ritva. So the Ritva says that's the difference between lulav and sukkah. Lulav requires lulav is disqualified by virtue of the avera because you require ritzui and you cannot achieve ritzui with a stolen lulav. Sukkah doesn't require ritzui, and therefore you can fulfill your mitzvah sukkah with a stolen sukkah, assuming you've solved the problem of lecha. Matzah, therefore, according to Tosfos, even if it was stolen, should be kosher because it's not a ritzui. There's no ritzui in matzah. The only two cases of ritzui that we have so far are zebach, or what you call it, a karmon, and number two, ulua. But not matzah, not sukkah. And yet, the Yerushalmi applies the principle of mitzvah baba avera to a stolen matzah. The Gemara, by the way, rejects it. But for technical reasons, the Gemara says that the matzah gzul is okay. Why? No, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. No, the Gemara wants to know if you take a matzah on Shabbos of Sukkot, if Sukkot overlaps with Shabbos. If Pesach overlaps with Shabbos, and you carry the matzah from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRavim, then the Yerushalmi says that the matzah is kshera. But in the case of a matzah gzula, the Yerushalmi clearly states, unequivocally states, that you're not yotzei the mitzvah of matzah. Says the Ritva, Aval HaNochon. Now I'm going to give you the right answer to the question. The correct answer to why there's no psul of mitzvah baba avera in a stolen sukkah, the only issue is, do you own it? Is it lecha? Is it not lecha? He says the kevan, the hocha, kevan de lo kani lo klal, ubershusa demari isa, the ein ha mitzvah motzi asa mershus bailea, lo chashiva mitzvah baba avera. He says the following, that since karka ain't an exelis, or for fakir in the case of eitzim, the gazan acquires full ownership over the eitzim as metaltalin, is therefore Therefore, lo chashiva mitzvah baba veira. This is not considered a mitzvah baba veira. In other words, either he never took the lulav, I'm sorry, he never took the sukkah out of the rishus of the bialim. That's because of one principle, karka ain't an exelus. Or in the case of eitzim, he acquired full-fledged ownership over the eitzim. So in both of those cases, lo chashiva mitzvah baba veira. Elahavi ki ilu haisa sada di alma gzula. There's a stolen sada, and he sits down and eats in that sada, in that sukkah. Is ena sukkah nifselas bekach? Does anybody want to take a stab at this? Like, what is he saying here? Again, in the case of karka, lo koni le klal, and where is the karka? In whose rishus? In its the original owner's rishus. So he never took it out of the possession of the original owner. He kicked out the owner in such a way the owner can't use the sukkah. That's not called mitzvah baba veira. In the case of Eitzim, he acquired full-fledged ownership on the Eitzim, this Gazlan, and therefore, it's not Mitzvah Baba Veir. So what is Mitzvah Baba Veir? So let me read it again. Aval Anachon, the Hacha, came into Lo Kani Lo Klal, again, that's the case of Tokev Eschavero, he threw him out, and we're going to the Chachom of the Karka Enin Exelis. He's came into Lokani Le Klal. He doesn't even have the beginnings of a Kenyan, because Karka ain't an exilus. So where is the Karka? Birshusa Demari Isa. The Karka is in the Rishus of its owner. The Ein HaMitzvah Motzi Asa Mirshus Baleha. I have a suspicion that's where the key of keys lies. If we can unlock the mystery, it would be these words. The Ein HaMitzvah Motzi Asa Mirshus Baleha. Is therefore lo chashiva mitzvah bo ba'aveira. There are no footnotes here in the mitzvah, so we have to work it out ourselves. Eina mitzvah motzi osa mushus ba'aveira. Can I try something? I don't know again if this is going to be... if this is going to be appropriate for the language of the mitzvah. That's the question, the language of the mitzvah. Ein ha-mitzvah motzi osa mirshus baleha. That mitzvah bo ba'aveira means that I took the object out of the rishus of the bialim, and that becomes what? Gozel. And now I want to use the gozel for my mitzvah. Now, if through the mitzvah I take the object out of the rishus of the bialim, like let's say, for example, let's take the case of matzah gzula, right? So at what point does it become impossible for the rightful owner to get back his matzah? When he eats it. So that's called, in the language of the Ritva, HaMitzvah Motzi Asam Rishus Baleh. The mitzvah itself makes it into a gzela. The mitzvah itself generates the gzela. However, let's say karka ain't an exelus, correct? So now I throw you out of your sukkah. So the Ritva holds that there's no motziasa mirshus baleh. I can never take your karka out of your rishus. Why? Because karka ain't an exelus. Means wherever it is, it's always considered to be in your rishus. So how can you tell me that this sukkah is a mitzvah baba vera? When I sit in the sukkah, I'm not taking your karka out of your rishus. Right? I didn't steal your schach. Your schach remains on the sukkah. Elowat, I stole your karka because I'm not letting you access your karka and enjoy the benefits, the tashmishim of karka. But the Ritva holds that since karka ain't an exelus, I never took the karka out of your rishus. And therefore the avera, for sure it was a terrible avera of Lo Sigzo when you threw him out of his own possessions, you know, his own structure. But that doesn't change or alter the nature of the sukkah. The sukkah and its relationship to gzela is a non-starter. There is no relationship between gzela and the sukkah because the sukkah is karka. And if it's karka, you cannot remove it from the rishus bialim. Gzela means to take something out of the rishus of the bialim, out of the domain of the bialim. I can't take karka out of your domain because wherever the karka is, it's in your domain. Is therefore the sukkah is not a sukkah gzula, says the Ritva. Not only as far as kinyanim is concerned, but even as far as mitzvah baba vera, it's not considered gzula. You have to somehow change the nature of the object that you want to use for a mitzvah into an avera. The mitzvah that you want to fulfill with this object has to have an avera built into it. Well, that means the avera of gzela is built into the object. Well, the avera of gzela can only be built into the object if the object is guzzled. But if it remains in the rishus of the bialim, then the avera is not in any way capable of impacting and transforming the nature of that object to make it into a mitzvah baba vera. So the Ritva holds that a mitzvah baba vera means that the mitzvah is being done with an object that's an averidika object. What is the averidika object? Again, as far as the aver of Los Sigzol is concerned, the very moment that he evicts his friend from his sukkah, he violates the law of the Isra of Los Sigzol, as we said in the name of the Ramban. But as far as converting, transforming the sukkah into a sukkah gzula, that depends on whether I can take it out of your rishus. In other words, the din of mitzvah baba vera is a spin-off, if you will, of the din of gzela. Meaning, mitzvah baba vera means not just that I use this object for some sort of avera, but I change the nature of the object. The object became a cheftz of avera, so to speak. How could I change the nature of the object? So if it's gozel, for example, in the case of metaltalin, I can change the nature of the object. If after it was gozel, I changed it in a very profound way, and if I was koneit, so if that be the case, then the shame, the status of the avera is completely gone. Because the status of the avera is because it's gozel. When is it gozel? When is it not gozel? In the case of metaltalin, where there was no shini Hashem, remember we spoke about the avankari. Who remembers the avankari? John, do you remember who the avankari were?
Those were the adasim.
What did they do with the adasim?
They cut it down
when they purchased it from the goyim. That, according to the Ritva, is a mitzvah baba vera. Why? Because at this point, the adasim, are gzulim. They're stolen adasim. Now, if he sells it to the buyer, the end consumer makes what kind of a kinyan? Shina Rishus, right? Shina Rishus. Once he makes a kinyan Shina Rishus, the object is no longer guzzle. Haraya, what has to be returned to the nigzal? The money, its value, not the original object. So once the kinyan gzela is complete, then you could use it for the mitzvah. So the end buyers could take these hadasim and use them for the mitzvah. But the avankari himself, he can't use it for the mitzvah because it's now a stolen adas. And he has to return it to its rightful owner. Mashiach, in case of sukkah, if I throw you out of the sukkah, I don't have to return it to you because I never took it out of your shus to begin with. If we hold that what? Karka ain't an exelus. You'll ask me, what about the case where he stole Eitzim and he used it for schach? His Rashi says that there too, it's no longer guzzle, and all you have to pay is what? Is dummy, because you recorded the Eitzim when you put it on the schach by virtue of Shini Hashem.
Well, but he's also going according to the Shidda that we learned in Tosfot, that what is a sukkah gzula? That it's agabei sfina or a mobile sukkah.
Correct, because a mobile sukkah is like the hadasim in the avankari, in which you can take it out of the rishus of the owner. And therefore it's considered gozel. That's called the mitzvah baba vera. You want to go ahead and sit in a sukkah that was stolen, because you literally lifted the entire sukkah off the ground, and now it became metaltalin. It's a mobile sukkah. That's called mitzvah bav avera. So we have many cases of mitzvah bav avera, but they all have one thing in common: that the object that you want to use for your mitzvah is gozel. Gozel means you have to return it to its owner, because you took it out of the rishus of the owner, and now you have to return it. If you didn't take it out of the rishus, there's no psul of mitzvah bav avera, because it's not gozel. If you took it as rishus and then you made a kinyan, it's not mitzvah bav avera. Why? Because now all you owe the nigzal is dabim, and the object itself is yours. Full-fledged ownership, you've acquired it, is yours, shalachem. It's not mitzvah bav avera. There's no avera. The avera is history. So therefore, Rabosai, according to the Ritva, mitzvah bav avera only applies in a very slim window of time that's in between two polar extremes. One polar extreme where there's no gzela. Why is there no gzela? Because karka ain't an gzelas. The other polar extreme is where there is metaltalin. He did steal it, but he also made a kinyan on it. In between, we're going to have the case of mitzvah bav avera. That's metaltalin. They were stolen, but there was never a kinyan on it. That's mitzvah bav avera.
How can it be stolen without a kinyan? He said it was stolen but before Kenyan. So how can I steal it without making Kenyan?
He physically stole it, but there was no...
She knew her shoes, that's a Kenyan.
Oh, you're talking about metaltalin?
Yeah.
Or karka? Oh, in the case of metaltalin?
How can I steal metaltalin without making a Kenyan on it?
Because we're holding now Yeish Lo Kanin. And if Yeish Lo Kanin, the only way he can make a Kenyan on it is if he does a change, and he didn't do a change. These are the Hadassim, exactly as they were at the moment that he stole it. Because the Avakri himself wants to use it for his own personal mitzvah. The end buyer, right? He's allowed to use it for the mitzvah of sukkah because it's already no longer gozel. Why is it no longer gozel?
Because it was
shinimushus. Were you here, Joel, when we discussed this? No. So you're missing that piece. We had a whole long sugi about avankari, in which Rav Huna instructs the avankari to allow the guy to make sure that the guy cuts down the hadassim, because if the Jew himself cuts down the hadassim, he's going to have a problem if he wants to use these hadassim for his own mitzvah of ulekachem lachem. And that's because either it's not lachem, he doesn't own it, because we need not only gzela and yeish, we also need shini rishos, or b, because it's mitzvah bav avera. And there'll be nafkaminas between the two, because if it's because he doesn't own it, that absence of ownership is only a psul when? On the first day of Yom Tov. If on the other hand it's mitzvah bav avera, that psul applies to all 6 days of Yom Tov, besides the first day of Yom
Tov. 7 days.
Also. Okay. 7 is 1 plus 6. Right? So you have the first day, and there the Torah requires lachem, and then in the other 6 days, the Torah doesn't require lachem. I could be yotze with a borrowed lulav, but it can't be a mitzvah bav avera. But as far as the end buyer is concerned, there was not only gzela and yeish, there was also shini rishus. So therefore, the buyer can be yotze his mitzvah. The avankari in the middle, he can't be yotze his own personal mitzvah because he hasn't yet acquired ownership over it, and it's not only a psul of chisar and lachem, not only the absence of lachem, but it's also a mitzvah bav avera. So according to the Ritva, it comes out that if you steal a matzah and you haven't passed it on to anyone else, you can't fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. Why? Because mitzvah bav avera means it's gozel, and you have an absolute obligation to return that matzah to its rightful owner. That means it's gozel. The avera is embedded in the object. You can't use that object for a mitzvah. Has nothing to do with ritzui, because now the Ritva dropped the ball on ritzui. Now let's say Reuven steals a matzah and he gives it to you, and now you acquire ownership of it. Why? Because now it's shini rishus. You could be yotze the mitzvah, according to the Ritva. Other Rishonim are going to say, "What are you talking? Shrei v'kayim. How can you be yotze mitzvah? It's a stolen matzah." Okay, so you acquired ownership on it, but it's still stolen. Yeah, but if that be the case, then we're stuck with avankari. Because the Gemara says that avankari could pass it on to the buyer, and the buyer could be yotze because he's kodesh b'shini rishus. What happened to mitzvah bav avera? So going to the mitzvah is very good, because once the end buyer acquired ownership on it, it's no longer considered gozel, and the avera is completely gone, so to speak, as far as the object is concerned. Now I can use this object for a mitzvah. So that's wonderful. But if you don't accept the ritva, then how is the end buyer going to use these hadasim for the mitzvah? It's a mitzvah bob avera. The Tosis comes up with a revolution on that. This is our Tosis. And he says that it was given from the Avankari over to the buyer before Yontif. And before Yontif, he was Kone, the Guzzle, this stolen Hadas, before it could become a Mitzvah Bob Aver. Mitzvah Bob Aver would be only if the Avera that's embedded in the object took place on Yontif itself. That's a pretty radical chiddush. But now I want to share with you a Me'iri. Now I don't know if we have the Me'iri with footnotes here in the yeshiva, but I have a copy of my own at home. The footnotes were written by Rav Sofer. He's an article of the Chassam Sofer, are absolutely fantastic. I didn't want to schlep the book for two reasons. First of all, I have X number of room in my valise. And secondly, I was afraid I might lose it. And it's part of a set of 10 or 12 gigantic volumes. It fills up an entire madaf in my library. So I'm always afraid to take the Me'iri, I'm going to lose it. So we have at our house a kind of a quasi-photocopy machine. If you know what I mean, it's a printer and you could photocopy on it. But it never comes out exactly the way I want it to come out. But at least it's legible. So I want to read to you the Me'iri. The Me'iri says the following. The Imtomar, and if you'll ask, Guzla, when he stole the sukkah, he says, Eni Yotzim, he did mitzvah bob avera. How can the Gemara say that either sukkah ain't an exelus, and therefore it's not mitzvah bob avera, or in the case of the Eitzim that he stole, he made a kinyan on the Eitzim through Shinui, and therefore it's not mitzvah bob avera? Okay, fine, you've solved the problem of ownership. It's not a psul of guzzel from the perspective of lecha. There's no psul of she'ela from the perspective of Rabbi Eliezer. But whatever happened to sukkah gzula, heichich shira? How could it be kosher? What happened to mitzvah bob avera? Sound familiar? This is the Ritva's question. He says, Bishleima b'tokaf chavera votzio misukoso, karka ain't an exelus, the ain kan gzela. That's a pella. What does he mean, ain kan gzela? Even if karka ain't an exelus, I still violate the law of los sigzol. So it should be mitzvah bob avera. So that has to be taken. Elo gozal eitzim, v'sichek bohem, ha mitzvah bob avera. V'ra'isi l'gdolei adoros, and Rav Sofer says that this is a reference to Sefer HaShlomo, that's one of the Rishonim from way back when, Shehemida, that the whole sugya is Shalom B'Gazlan Atzma, that the Gazlan stole Eitzim, used it to make a sukkah, and then he sold the sukkah. The Ein Nirali says, it doesn't impress me, says Sharei Beheja Omru Gazal Eitzim V'Sichet Bohem. Alma, we see, B'Gazlan Atzmo Nemra. He stole Eitzim and he used it for schach. It doesn't say a word about selling it to someone else. Again, let's just review the Miri's question, which was the Beritva's question before. The Gemara analyzes sukkah gzula from the perspective of lecha. And the Gemara says that if karkein is exelus, then it's not gzula. And if we're talking about stealing Eitzim, then the Gazan made a kinyan on the Eitzim when he used it for his schach. Again, there's no psul of lecha. But what about the psul of mitzvah bob avera? Nira Li Shahasuka Eino Yotze Begufa Elahasuka Makifasa Bechol Sheknoa Ein Ba Mishum Mitzah Ba Ba Vera Avaluav Begufa Hu Yotze The Roy Legalgal of Din Mitzvah Ba Ba Vera Ukein Masha Omru B'Talmud HaMarov. He tells you, look in the Yerushalmi here in the third parak of Sukkah. Ma bein lulav l'shofar. Why is it that a stolen lulav is possible, but a stolen shofar is kosher? And he quotes now the Yerushalmi, lulav begufo hu yotze, shofar bekolo hu yotze, the ein bekol din gezel. Now again, it seems to me that the main word here in the Meiri is the word begufa. And he says the following, that in the case of lulav, begufa hu yotze. But in the cases of sukkah and shofar, lav begufa hu yotze. In the case of sukkah, he says, ela shasukkah makifaso. The sukkah surrounds him. But in the case of shofar, he says, ein bekol din gezel. You didn't steal the kol.
We're talking about the gufa of the object, the sukkah. Yeah. But it's the gufa of the sukkah that I'm keeping the mitzvah with. If I'm sitting
so what does
in
the sukkah
and I'm sitting
here, he says
outside
the sukkah ain't no yotze the gufa. What does that mean? A sukkah ain't no yotze the gufa.
This is what we
discussed last week
about. It's the gufa.
Sound familiar, Don?
The sukkah was just the makom, but it wasn't necessarily the.
Yeah, who said itself. Such a thing?
Oh, that I don't remember.
Okay.
You did.
I did. And who rejected it?
He did.
You did. Which was fine last Thursday because I didn't know about the Meiri.
So the Meiri's a
Let me read the Meiri one more time. It's an unbelievable chiddush. My Rebbe never used the Meiri. He used to always say the Meiri is the Meiri. You know, no chiddushim. You know, the Meiri just sort of anthologizes. You know, but that's not true. This is an unbelievable chiddush. The Meiri says that mitzvah baba ver applies to lulav, but neither it does not apply neither to sukkah nor to shofar. So a stolen sukkah is not a psul of mitzvah baba ver. Why? Because he says how lulav begufa hu yotze begufa shal lulav hu yotze.
Yeah,
that's the word you have to add to this Meiri. I will be sukkah ain't a yotze begufa. He's not yotze with the goof of the sukkah. What does it mean, any yotze begufa shel sukkah? So what is the yotze in? If I sit in front of the stars and there's no sukkah, then I'm not yotze. So why is it yotze begufa? Ella, he says, shasukkah makifaso. He doesn't do an action with the sukkah. If he does an action with the sukkah, then it would be exactly equivalent to doing an action with what? With a lulav. And that would be mitzvah baba vera. But when is it mitzvah baba vera? When the Torah commands me to do an action with the object, and the object is a stolen object. But in the case of sukkah, the Torah is not commanding me to do an action with the sukkah. The sukkah is the sukkah. The sukkah has to set up a makom that's called hekef makom, and he enters into that makom.
It's like a shofar.
And therefore he says it's like a shofar. Why? Because the Yerushalmi asked the question, what if I steal a shofar and I blow the shofar? You're yotze. Why are you yotze? Because Bekolo hu yotze. Notice he's not yotze with the shofar. The shofar is just a means to an end to create what? A kol, correct. And he's yotze with the kol shofar. If he ain't Bekol din gezel, you can't steal a kol. Kol is abstract. And in the case of Sukkah, you can't steal the makom. I didn't steal the makom from you. The makom is an abstract entity that is generated by the circumference? How do you say hekef in English? By the surrounding sukkah. Labyrinth, it's called?
The boundaries.
Yeah, no, I meant to say, what's it called in English when you have a location that's surrounded by, that location is circumscribed by a hekef, by... There's got to be a word. But anyway, in Lashon Kodesh is a beautiful word for it. That's called hekev. So that's something pretty unbelievable. If anybody wants to take a look at the Meiri, then be my guest. Okay, Rabbosai. We're here on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. And my question to you is the following question. You have three out of the four minim, but you don't have the fourth. No Esrog. The last time you saw an Esrog was years ago. You haven't seen an Esrog in ages. And by the way, this was the historical experience of Klal Yisrael for many, many generations. Today you walk into a store, to a shuk, and they'll give you 50 esrogim to choose from until you get choice anxiety. You don't know what to do. Hopefully after, by the time we get to Yom Kippur, you'll know what to buy. But in the meantime, you're totally overwhelmed by it. But in the old days it wasn't, we don't thank Hashem for what we have. They didn't have lulavim. They didn't have hadassim. Okay, Hoshanas they had. Even Hoshanas was a problem because you got to cut them fresh. They get dried very quickly. Esrogim was like unreal. You heard of the author Shai Agnon? Mm-hmm. He has a very famous short story called Ha'etrog, the Esrog. And it's a story about a boy who dropped his Esrog and the pitum fell off. There's a more famous movie in our time called Ushpizin. The man spent 1,000 shekel on an esrog. The only problem is he didn't tell his slick friends from the north, that was an esrog. They thought it was a lemon. They had no clue, and they sliced it. And that movie is all about anger control. It's a very impressive movie. It's a Breslov movie, because in Breslov, the Rebbe Reb Nachman, he always spoke about not getting angry, controlling anger. It's one of the most challenging human experiences to control anger. So what's the deal? Would anybody here have entertained the following possibility? If I don't have an esrog, I have the other three minim, for example, so take another fruit. What would you say to such a person? Just a knee-jerk response.
No.
Kick him out of the base medrash. He deserves to be tarred and feathered for even entertaining such an idea. Let me ask you a different question. This is a little bit more complicated. What happens if he has an esrog, but it's an esrog hayovich? It's got no lachluchis, no moisture left. Again, I would say, crazy. What, is he going to take it as an esrog? It's a puzzle as... So where does this all come from? It comes from the sugya here at Daf Lamed Aleph, but specifically Tosfos. So let's take a look at the Gemara in Sar. We're on Daf Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, and we're looking four lines up from the bottom of the Amud. Now, any Gemara that we skipped will be covered very thoroughly, Mr. Shem, tomorrow in my 8:30 class. Okay, so I'm trying to juggle the two classes. Our boss minim shebelulav, kishem she'ein pochsim mehen, kach ein mosifin alim. To the same extent that you can't add a fifth min, it's four and not five, so too you can't be poches. Poches means you can't diminish the number. You've got to have four and nothing less. Therefore, lo motza esrog, if he didn't find an esrog, lo yavi, he should not bring, lo parish. Okay, we decided that a parish in English is called a quince. For lo rimon, and not a pomegranate. For lo dover acher. A lot of beautiful fruits out there. I don't know, we can take a second here and decide what's your favorite fruit. Somebody told me he loves mango. I don't know, I'm not a big mango fan. And you should know, not that it's relevant to anyone here, but mango is full of sugars. So if you're on a low sugar diet, you don't want to eat too many mangoes. Watermelon, by the way, is almost pure sugar. So you want to avoid. Other melons are a lot healthier, but they're not as tasty as a watermelon. That's the problem. So what does this price exclude in the case where I don't have an esrog?
Everything, because it's a lot of our affair.
Correct.
Anything except an esrog.
But I asked you two questions. Let's go through them one by one. The first question I asked you is, can I take another fruit? That's clear. The Braisa advocate does not allow you to take another fruit. And we'll soon see how the Gemara justifies that. But I asked you a second question. In the absence of a kosher esrog, can I take an esrog? It's an esrog, but it's not kosher. It's got a psul. We'll talk about different psulim in an esrog. Let's say sedek, you know, it has a very sharp indentation. We'll talk about the absence of a pitum. We could talk about the fact that it's so dry, it has no moisture to it. Many, many different cases of apostle or esrog. I have my show and tell book here with many pictures of disqualified esrog. So Tosis says the following. Yesh ledadik, it's the last Tosis on the page. Mikan. She'im lo matza kasher, mevarech bepsul. If you didn't find an esrog that was kosher, make the bracha on an esrog that's possible. Midanokat parish of Rimon. What did the Braisa tell me? How far was the chiddush of the Braisa to exclude a case where he doesn't have an esrog? Taking a different fruit. Why didn't the Braisa tell me a bigger chiddush? Don't bother taking an esrog that's possible. Now, if you fast forward for a minute to Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, the Gemara tells you exactly why you can't take another fruit. And the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, this you'll see, Omar Mar, it's approximately, how many lines down from the top? Omar Mar. Nine lines down. Okay. You can't add another min. Pshita. Well, why did the Bryce have to tell me this? I would have thought, ho, il vi omar Rabbi Yehuda lul of tzarech agad, vi maise minachrina, hai lechude koi, vai lechude koi kamashmalon. Alright, we'll get to that later. Omar Mar, this is the part I wanted you to see. Lo matza esrog, lo yavi, lo rimon, lo parish, lo dover acher pshita. Why would I think you take another fruit? Mal, the same I would have thought. Leise, take another fruit. Why? Ki hechi delo tishtakach toras esrog. So that you shouldn't forget about an esrog. Imagine if years and decades go by and you're taking nothing, right? Because you don't have an esrog. So at some point you're going to think that the mitzvah is completely gone. You won't remember that there's an esrog. Give yourself a memory device. At least take another fruit and let the people know that this fruit is just a quasi-substitute for the esrog. At least when you get the esrog, you'll take the esrog. Kamash Malon, the Bryce says no. Don't try to be an Iver Chacham and figure out that there's a logical reason why you want to take the esrog, because Shalot Ishtakach Toras Esrog. But rather, Zimnin Dinofek Churva Minei, what's going to happen is going to be a kilkul. A churva means a terrible situation. The Asi L'Misrach, people are going to begin to think decades down the line, or generations down the line, that you're allowed to take another species. Because the Torah only says what? Pre-Eitz Hadar. Well, my quince is a pre-Eitz Hadar. My rimon is a beautiful rimon. Talk of the structure of a rimon, and when it gets really red, it's quite beautiful. So it could be considered a pre-Eitz Hadar. So Asi L'Misrach. Says Tosfos, Asi L'Misrach only applies if you take what? A different species, a different fruit. But if you take an esrog, just that it's dried, so next year he's going to find access, he'll get access to an esrog that's moist, and we have no reason to suspect that he's going to take the dried esrog. He'll realize that he only took the dried esrog, but less brera, he had no choice. That's all he had. That was the only thing that was available. But now that he has what? A beautiful, moist esrog, for sure he'll take the... But in the case of a quince, you know, he might, after a certain period of time, think that a quince is called pre-Eitz Hadar. It's a beautiful fruit. So where does the Gemara say you should not take a substitute for a real Makoy esrog that's only Dilma Asi L'Misrach in the case where he's taking another fruit? But if, on the other hand, he's taking an esrog, albeit apostle esrog, then maybe that's a good idea, says Tosfos. Because otherwise the Braisa should have told me a bigger chiddush. Don't tell me, lo mi boy, in the case where he's taking a fruit. Tell me the case where he's taking an esrog. Now, why would he take a posel esrog, and what meaning would that have? So that at least next year, he'll realize that he has an option to take a good esrog, a beautiful, moist esrog, and that's exactly what he's going to take. I got only one problem. If that's the pshat in Tosfos, there's one word in this Tosfos that makes absolutely no sense. What word is that?
Levarech.
Exactly, levarech. How could Tosfos postulate that levarech, that he's going to take a posel esrog, so we can make a brach on? I understand there's a memory device. We want to be sort of very protective and secure that next year he'll take an esrog. An esrog that's cautious. I can understand, let him take a posel esrog, it'll remind him that next year he has to take a kosher esrog. I can hear such a svara. But to tell me now on a posel esrog, which is a meaning, and we know that all four minim are ma'akev, are absolutely critical, now he's going to make a brach on that. That doesn't seem to make any sense whatsoever. So what I want to read to you here is the Sfas Emes. You remember that in the past occasions, I have mentioned to you the Sfas Emes. So Sfas Emes, who is the Ger Rebbe, says the following: Minolam l'tosus l'medak din matza esrog kosher mevarech b'posel. I got a little bit carried away here. Minayin l'tosus l'dayek diem lo matza esrog kosher yivarech b'posel. That doesn't make any sense. Says the Sfas Emes, mevur b'gemara di'ika isura lito min acher. You're not allowed to take another min, a different species of a fruit. Mishum diasi lemichres. Okay, lefize yesh ledagdeg didafka b'min acher ika isura. We have a real problem of dilma asi lemichres, and we're going to absolutely adamantly oppose his taking another fruit because down the line he's going to think he can take another fruit. I will be esrog posel leko isura. Tosfos is within his rights, his bounds. He's justified in saying that with an esrog posel leko isura. V'nimtza, now we can justify Tosfos's diyuk. The meduyak me'abraisa gaksha ein isur v'netilas esrog posel. That in the case of an esrog at least, but it's posel, there's no isur. Ach mitzvah leko. But to say that he could fulfill a mitzvah with an esrog posel, u'inayin diku atosis the yesh levarek al esrog posel. You want to say that there's no isur and no objection in taking an esrog posel? I can see that diyuk. But to say that therefore he fulfills his mitzvah of dalet midim and he makes a brach on an esrog posel, mi nolet, has he no such. So that's the Sfas Emes that I wanted to share with you.
Well, what's the chalutz? This brings the question. So, the question.
Now, yeah, I'll tell you what it is. I'm looking at my clock, and I see the following. We have 5 minutes until mincha. So if you don't mind, I'm going to leave this Sfas Emes for tomorrow. Anyone who wants a photocopy, please tell me. I want to leave you in suspension. In what's it called? What's it called?
Suspended animation.
Yeah. Suspense.
All right. And we'll see, because it's a long, complicated answer that the Sfas Emes gives. And I haven't worked it out completely. I have it pretty much. But I do want to share with you a chiddush that I found in the back of the Gemara. You know, there are Tosafot, there are extra Gemaras in the Vilna Shas. I don't know if you'll find it in Steinsaltz, but in the Vilna Shas, there's something called Hosafot, you know, added comments. And the one single commentary that they're very big on is Rabbi. I wrote his name down just to make sure that I wouldn't forget. Rabbi Eliezer Moshe Halevi Av Bezdin de Pinsk. Has anybody heard of the city of Pinsk?
Yeah.
Pinsk was in Litva. My father came from a town that was not far from Pinsk. And he was very friendly with one of the Rabbanim from Pinsk. My father came from a shtetl called Plisa. And this Rav Volkin was his name. Came from Pinsk. So my father used to call him the Pinsker Ilu, the genius from Pinsk. So he called my father the Pleaser Ilu. So if you ever read in any books about the police or Eli, that's my father. But you won't find it in any book. So in any event, the Rav of Pinsk before Rav Volkin was this Rabbi Eliezer Moshe Levi Horovitz. And he says the following. If I set up a sukkah in Reshus HaRabim, I have to find you the page. I think I left it here maybe in one of the ribbons, but let me read to you. I copied it over in my handwriting. He says the following. So again, remember we said that if you put up a sukkah in Reshus HaRabim, again, who owns the schach? You own the schach, right? And the land itself belongs to the public. And Gemara says that according to Rabbi Eliezer, you're not Yotzi the mitzvah. Why? Because it's a sukkah gzula. So he's bothered by this. Why is it a sukkah gzula? The schach, this was your question, Dr. Joel, from the very beginning of our discussion. The schach himself is his personal schach. Ella, what? Maybe he stole what? He stole the karka, but karka ain't an exelus, according to the Gemara, goes back and forth, according to Rabbi Eliezer, what he holds. So he says the following. Hadi darshinon, that which we darshin, misukas tasa lecha, lima'ute, lecha lima'ute sha'ula, le Rabbi Eliezer, ulamai gzula lechachamim, this was the Gemara that we didn't learn back on Daf Chav Zayin in the days. Koi raka aschach, that only applies to the schach. Kishar kol psulim d'shaychi b'schach v'lo b'tefanos v'lo b'karka. We can organize if we went to first parak sukkah a whole enumerated list of disqualifications in the case of a sukkah, but they all apply to schach, not to tefanos and not to karka. So, for example, if you have something that's mechubra l'karka, that's possible for schach. If you have something that is mekabel tuma, it's possible for schach. If you have smelly schach, that's possible for schach. If you, what else? I'm blanking out now, but there's a whole long enumerated list of psule schach. Then now you're telling me that he stole schach, or according to Rabbi Eliezer, he doesn't own the schach, then it's possible he did lecha? So now we have a problem because the Brisa says that Rabbi Eliezer passes a sukkah in Rishus HaRama. Who owns the schach? It's his personal schach. It's not like the case where I throw you out of your sukkah. You own the schach. I don't own the schach. That's not lecha. I don't have bialus over the sukkah according to Rabbi Eliezer. But in the case where I put up my own schach in Rishus HaRama, why is that possible? So he says an unbelievable chiddush. He says, how the possible Rabbi Eliezer b'masachech Birshus Arabim, Haini Mu Mishum de Spirale Kemandi Omer Bibaba Kamadaf Lamid Omid Beis, Hamotzi Tavno Vikashal Birshus Arabim was volume. They used to take out straw and place it in the public domain so that the animals would tramp on it and it would become fertilizer. Is Kansu Gufa Mishum Shvachan. The Rabbana made a takana and they took away his tevin. He no longer is the owner of the straw. And why is that? Because he's putting a bar b'rishus harabim, a dangerous thing in b'rishus harabim. For hachinami, and here too, in a person who puts schach on a sukkah in b'rishus harabim, konsu rabbanon, the rabbanon instituted a knas, which means a rabbinic penalty, lahafkir es sukkoso. They established that he no longer owns the schach. V'nimtza shaschach uschach shal hefker, v'eino shalo, v'alkein ene yotze yedei chovoso l'rabbi Eliezer. A whole new perspective on why Mesachech versus a rabbi according to Rabbi Eliezer is possible. We thought because he doesn't own the sukkah, why? Because the karka is stolen. He's assuming no. That's not a problem. We don't require ownership in the karka. We require ownership in the schach. Well, it's his schach. The answer is the rabbi made a takona and they took away his schach because he absconded with the Rishus HaRam. So B'li Neda, tomorrow, if we have a little bit more time, now I'm a little bit under the gun because it's Mincha time, I'd like to analyze this chiddush of Rabbi Eliezer from Pinsk.
Shkai.